And it's now my pleasure to introduce Blythe Reha from the Regional Municipality of York, that is in Ontario, Canada. Ms. Reha holds civil and environmental engineering degrees from the University of Waterloo. She has close to 10 years of experience working in the consulting industry with specific expertise in hydrogeologic data analysis and management, 2D and 3D visualization, and numerical flow modeling. In 2016, she joined the Regional Municipality of York, and in her role there, she applies her expertise for supporting internal hydrogeologic programs, as well as new and existing numerical modeling projects. Welcome, Blythe.
So, thanks very much to Alan and to the committee for inviting me to come and speak to you guys. I was very surprised, but a little bit honored as well. It's been a great conference so far, so I wish that some of my colleagues back in York could have been here because I think they would have learned quite a few things and validated some of the issues that we are also experiencing. I'm just recovering from a case of bronchitis. I am not contagious anymore. So I might cough. I will try not to cough into the microphone. But yeah, so I presented this topic at ModFlow and More back in 2017, which was a pretty daunting experience to encourage our modern day superheroes in the modeling world to take their modeling efforts into the next level. But I think it's something that was pretty important for them to hear and probably something important for us as clients and non-modelers to also think about. So it doesn't matter if you're the consultant or if you're the client or a regulator, the modeling process in terms of groundwater is a struggle. You always encounter field data challenges, software issues, technical understanding challenges, as well as relationship issues, which all contributes to the modeling struggles that we're faced with. So the purpose of my presentation is to share with you some of the modeling related challenges, but successes that we've encountered as a municipality and as a client. It's likely if you've worked with groundwater models that you've encountered similar experiences. So this might be a little bit boring for you, but my hope is that you're left with something to think about the next time you chat with your modelers or if you chat with your clients and work on your next report or finalize a project scope. So where is York? We're a regional municipality located in southern Ontario. We reside between the City of Toronto and Lake Simcoe, covering an area of 680 square miles. It's pretty hard not to use metric units here. We're considered an upper-tier municipality made up of 9 local municipalities with over 1 million residents and growing. At the region, we're responsible for supplying treated municipal drinking water to our local municipalities who then distribute it on to the residents. And in York, we're very fortunate to live in a water resource plentiful area. So the water that we actually supply to our local municipalities include lake-based water, so water from Lake Ontario and Lake Simcoe, as well as groundwater. So some of our municipalities are solely based on lake water, and some are purely groundwater, and then some are a mix. So it's hard to keep track of everything, but we do our best. So at York, we are responsible for the day-to-day operations with water, just like every other municipality. But separate from that large technical team is a smaller group, which I like to refer to us as the Water Quantity Analysts, which is the group that I'm part of. And we're responsible for collecting and analyzing groundwater data, applying for permits to take water, answering internal and external questions related to how our wells operate, how certain operations may impact local water features, etc. So we're just a small team, but thankfully we have a very strong support network with external partners as well as clients or consultants, sorry. In our region, we have 41 production wells, all screened within quaternary geology. And of that, we we have a permit to take 133 million liters per day, which is about 35 million gallons, U.S. gallons per day. And we actually abstract just 8.5 million gallons per day. So we've got a little bit of a buffer. We also have over 200 monitoring wells. So these are just our wells. We've got lots of wells in the area from private well users, but we are responsible for 200 of those. And each well is houses a data logger, which we download quarterly and look at. We care very much about groundwater in our region. We're one of the fastest growing regions in Canada. And intersecting our region is a prominent landform called the Oak Ridges Moraine, which is the green feature that you see on the map. It's a highly protected area, mainly because it serves as a significant recharge area for our overburdened aquifers, which is obviously important to York Region as well as surrounding municipalities. So back in 2001, the Oak Ridges Moraine Conservation Act was established, which required all municipalities to prepare watershed plans, water budgets, and water conservation plans. So while it's really important for York Region to continue growing their population, we have to be very cognizant of where our development is and protecting our Oak Ridges Moraine. So finally, we get onto the models. Over the last couple of decades, the region, as well as their consultants, have used various different groundwater models to help us better characterize the Oak Ridges Moraine that I just discussed, to advance our understanding of the local and regional groundwater systems, to provide a quantitative analysis for potential impacts to groundwater quantity and quality due to development, to help us assess our impact of municipal pumping on groundwater levels as well as base flow to water features, and many, many other benefits, which are all great things. But at times, it is easy to become lost during the modeling process. The process can leave one fairly confused and oftentimes very frustrated. So I sat down and I had to think about, why are we so frustrated with models? So I'm going to go through a few of the challenges that we've encountered. And the first one I'm going to call is the broken dialogue challenge. So you have to picture this. A groundwater related question is asked, and while it is ideal to approach scientific and engineering principles to answer the question internally, this challenge may be beyond qualified rationalization and reasoning, so external expertise is required. So project managers tasked with the job of assembling consulting experts, so a project manager as well as subject matter experts, to help answer this question. And in some cases, but not all cases, information is transferred upward from your subject matter experts to the PM, who then passes that information onto your overall project manager. And sometimes, but not always, there may be some connection between the subject matter expert and the overall project manager. In turn, the overall project manager takes that and delivers it to the person who's asking the groundwater-related question, and if an expensive decision is required, it often goes to the approving bodies, and for us, that would be our regional council. So this process presents a clear challenge because there is a clear break between the subject matter expert and the decision maker. So for me personally, as a modeler, how do you know if your message was being delivered and if the solution captured the appropriate range for the decision? This is something that I thought about as a consultant. Now I think about it a little bit differently. With this break, the receivers miss out on a clear understanding of the key assumptions that were made during the modeling, the scale of applicability of the model, and a picture of the uncertainty. So I recognize that the message pathway is truly dependent on the situation and the people that are involved, but really the point is that having a direct access between the subject matter expert and the decision maker is imperative. The second challenge is something more technically based. So the term one water has been used in the drinking and wastewater industry over the last several years, And depending on which profession or which professional you ask, you might get a different understanding of what that term means. But in general, the one water concept means bringing all water subject matter experts together to leverage knowledge and technology to enable the planning and delivery of quality water while simultaneously reducing the burden on resources and infrastructure, which is a mouthful. Given climate change concerns, this is incredibly important, no doubt about it. But in the context of resolving water-related questions with a simulator, so with a numerical model, and considering the one water concept, this means a simulator that includes all facets of the water cycle. So that means climate models, hydrology models, groundwater models, transport models, etc. The list goes on. And these models do exist. Scary. It's a very exciting time for everyone. But as a client with specific expertise and only the hydrogeologic component of these multidisciplinary type projects, I am left with a few questions. The one water approach requires multidisciplinary strengths. So will I be able to fully grasp the inherent assumptions with each process or what the simulation results actually represent? With finite resources, what adds the most value to arriving at a multidisciplinary solution? Is it modeling or is it field programs directed at revealing multidisciplinary behavior? Or is it bringing together a panel of subject matter experts that can help us answer the multidisciplinary question with our current modeling? If we do decide to go down a multidisciplinary modeling approach, what is required and what are the costs of constructing such a model? Finally, are we building these models because we can, or are we building them because we need to? The software is out there, but do we actually need them? For every question. So in my short time as client, I've noticed that some modelers provide only an answer to the question being asked. There are no expected impacts. But really what I would like is to know what was learned from the process. Are there data gaps? Do we need to refine our conceptual understanding? What was the process for critical thinking? And what is it that you know and what is it that you don't know? So my colleagues have been going through this for a much longer time than I have. So I quickly asked some of them what other challenges they have been faced with. The language used by some modelers is not understood by everyone. This makes it difficult for others to understand what was done, what the study might suggest, and how to communicate this information to others who have to make decisions. Documentation is of utmost importance for the following reasons. It's a new way for a team member to get caught up to speed on what's been done. Sometimes this documentation is incomplete. And this is the only avenue for non-modelers to review the modeling process. I have a little Dilbert thing up there, but I'll just keep going. Maybe I'll go back. I love Dilbert because I'm an engineer and I kind of get him. All right. But enough with the negatives. Let's focus on some of the positives. So what have been some of our successes? So a focus on the question, a direct focus on the question. Building a model fit for purpose. I've heard this term today and I couldn't agree more. Sometimes that means using a very simplified model. It doesn't necessarily mean you need a large, multidisciplinary, regional scale model. You can sometimes answer questions with something very simple. And as I already mentioned, transferring that knowledge. So it's really important for me as the client to understand what it is that you don't know. Sometimes that's forgotten. So having direct involvement has also been successful for us. So we know that the groundwater modeling process is made up of two components, model development and model application. So it's imperative that the modeler be heavily interactive with the client during the development process. This is where two-way communication would occur. So delivery of a clear problem statement and expectations, an exchange of conceptual understanding, data transfer, and a discussion around the simulation approach. Will you be using a simplified model? Will you be using an integrated model? The second process, model application, will require some communication, but generally is mostly one way, where the modeler interacts with their internal team, begins and completes the modeling process, interprets results, and communicates learnings. And I found actually, right now I'm going through this process with one of my consultants, and thankfully they're open to discussing more during the model application process. I've been trying to offer my assistance where needed, so it helps move things along a little bit quicker. Finally, for the receiver, graphics are just as important as text. Fancy images aren't necessary, but a complete set of figures are imperative for visualization purposes. So just included a few of my favorites. Transient calibration plots, so simulated versus observed heads. Perspective views are great for those of us who think better in three dimensions. Cross sections, as well as plan view maps. These are very simple, but surprisingly not included as much as they should be in documentation. So as Helen mentioned, my role has shifted from consultant to client, which has been an adjustment, but luckily I get to interact with all the modeling experts, which I really enjoy. And then building this presentation back in 2017 helped me to think about my own career path and some of the people that I've encountered. And someone very once wise told me that models have no value, but modeling does. And surprisingly, he was a modeler. I didn't quite fully grasp at the time what that meant, but I finally get it now. So I'll share the insight. The value in applying groundwater modeling to decision making is not based on the model's final output. It is that the modeler was involved in the decision making process. In the context of this presentation, it refers to having the modeler present in the meetings, providing what was known and what wasn't known, being specific to the question at hand, and then documenting all the great work that was completed. And that's it. Any questions?
Well, I have a question as a groundwater modeler.
Yeah.
How do you, I'm not going to say dumb things down because that is not what we do, but how do you have tips on how to make things easier for non-modelers to understand and decision makers? Is it really just the show me, don't tell me, or are there other things you've learned?
Show me, don't tell me works really well. That's a really good question. I find even in my day-to-day job that it's a learning process. It's been a struggle because I can see where the modeling direction is going and understand what's being done, but trying to relay that is really hard. So having a good working relationship with my boss has been helpful because now he's starting to get it. So if I say something modeler speak, he understands. But yeah, it's I don't have any tips. The images help a lot. Sorry. I wish I was more wise. That's it. Awesome.
Oh. I'm just curious if the modeling report, yes. I write a lot of modeling reports.
Yes.
That never get read.
I'm sorry, that never get read?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on ways to deliver
absolutely
something that's like a report, but more accessible to non-modelers.
I call it a presentation report. So really, it's just a presentation. It focuses on the images more. Less text. Nobody wants to read it. Very high level. That's what's working for me right now in my current role. When I do modeling exercises, I skip the reporting, go right to a presentation. It's easier. People are there. They're more engaged, I find.